This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. But what I hear most often is that, like, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Okay, how? Right? Like, if you weren't going to do that before, right? If I'm not going to do this again, what are you going to do any differently that is going to prevent your body, your brain from picking up on some sort of threat in your environment or even internally? And how are you going to pick up on that in the milliseconds before it triggers in your brain? And how are you going to do that any differently this time than you did last time if you aren't building that muscle?
Welcome to Shift Talking, a podcast where we explore the art and science of behavior change. I'm your host, Davina Hain, a mental health coach and founder of A Steady Space. Join me as we discuss actionable tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you create lasting change once and for all. Now, let's get to the Shift Talking. Hi, 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 and welcome to episode 20 of Shift Talking. One, I'm just so excited that we got here. Two, people are constantly asking me, Google, forums, friends, family, the general internet about how to keep our shit together, how to repair our conflicts, how to reduce the amount of disagreements we have with our family, tolerate the challenges that I'm having with my kids so I stop losing my shit on them, right? Like, we're constantly asking everyone, how can we do these things once they're there? Or how do I repair? And while, of course, both of those are incredibly important, where I stand is we have to put the vast majority of emphasis on preventing these things from happen. And no, not, you know, brushing things under the rug and acting like they don't bother you. That's not what I'm advocating for here at all. What I am advocating for is to not let these things build up over time without, one, our even recognition of them, or two, our ability to work through them and actually verbalize what it is that's happening for us in advance. We want to be able to kind of remedy that within ourselves. So that's what the next three episodes are going to be all about. So today is all about the prevention. Next episode, episode 21, will be about once that happens, once you are already activated, what I can really do about it. Like, if I'm actively in conflict, and it's not just going to be like, take deep breaths, count to 10 and walk away. It really is good advice, but it's not enough for us to kind of remember in the moment. So we need some quicker tools. And then episode 22, our third part of this, is going to be about making repairs afterward, like how to come back and not just hide away until either we lose the relationship or until they bring it up to me. So we really want to be able to repair these things without just letting them go on for eternity, unresolved, and then, of course, then be the things that cause our inability to act in prevention. So when all of these things are building up, it's not that they just go away because we, quote unquote, let them go. We store them. And that's what today is going to be all about. So here's the thing.
Yes, I specialize in anger management. Yes, I am a mental health coach. Yes, I'm the host of this podcast and the founder of my coaching practice, right? And I still lose my shit on my kids. I still say the wrong thing. I still get defensive. I still error, right? This entire thing is about a long-term goal, right? It's the goal that I tend to have long-term is just to constantly be evolving. That's really all that I want. And so with each time I error, what I'm really just looking for is some opportunity to learn what I need to learn from it and make a change. And that's what today's about, right? So even though I do this, I still struggle with these things from time to time. And the times that I struggle with these the most is when I'm not listening to myself, is when I'm ignoring things, when I allow myself to go back on autopilot because I just don't feel like doing the work. And that's completely normal. It's normal. Anyone who says that like they're on this journey, that they're doing this work and tells you that they don't error, that they don't feel anger, that they don't fuck up and that like life is cupcakes and rainbows and unicorns pooping candy. Sure. Okay, fine. But please run in the other direction because they are scamming you. They are lying to you and probably to themselves. If we are struggling within this, it just means that we need some support and we likely, right, more often than not, we're lacking some skills, some awareness skills. One of the things that I have been focusing on the most is how I react with my kids, right? We have a lot going on, really high stress. Our schedules are crazy. We're just constantly on the move lately because we just have a lot going on and right? It's not an excuse for my overwhelm and who I take it out on or how poorly I regulate myself. It is about understanding explanations for my acting outside of myself or even kind of relapsing in behaviors that I thought I had grown through already. This is constantly going to be that work. So now that that's my focus right now, I am going through this entire shift framework for myself as well in an attempt to prevent any more flare-ups. This prevention is not about suppressing anything. It's not about letting shit go. It's not about acting like things don't bother you or even minimizing any of your upset. Not at all. What this is about is staying in control of myself, aware of myself, and being able to navigate through my everyday existence in ways that lead me down the path of least regret. So now we're going to jump into the shift framework and break down each one step by step. So as we know, our shift framework is the acronym for our S is our self, our self-awareness, our self-esteem, our self-concept, efficacy, all of these things. H is healing, healing from the bullshit, healing from the past, healing from the things that I did poorly. I is innovating. A lot of this has to do with our communication, but really it's innovating all of the tools and skills and attempts that I make. As we trial and error, we have to trial new things so that hopefully we stop erroring as much. Whereas a lot of us kind of end up trialing the same thing and then we're shocked when we end up with the same errors. Our F is our fortitude. It's our God. It's just our belief, our willingness, our mental grit and strength that tells me that even when I error, I can start over. I can trial once again until I feel confident. And then I get into this level of transformation. Once these things start to feel easier, they're coming more easily, they will indicate this level of transformation. And sometimes we're going straight through this method in the same like SHIFT. And other times we're kind of picking and choosing, volleying, going back and forth and kind of restarting over and over again. And that's completely okay too. This is kind of like the grief process in that we tend to understand it as one linear process when really there isn't one, right? It comes in waves and we can pick and choose where we need the most amount of effort. So of course, we are going to start with our S, ourselves, you guys. So much of preventing conflict, a lot of people end up saying something like, okay, well, if they don't fuck up, then I will be just fine. And while it sounds logical and that's, you know, somewhat fair to some degree, it's deeply impractical. It's giving away your power every fucking chance you get. If what somebody else does causes a different reaction in you based on them, they are in control of you, not you. If they are treating you poorly and you're unwilling to be treated poorly, but the way that you go about expressing that unwillingness is really fucking poor, it's not any better. You're not advocating for yourself. You're just screaming and fighting back. There's a difference. So no matter what anybody else does, we have to know ourselves well enough to know what to anticipate, how I'm likely to react, and what I can do about it. So this is what I want you to focus on. What are the things that spark you? What are the things that quote unquote trigger you? What are these things that just piss you the fuck off and it is really hard for you to come back from? That's like one list I want you to make. Even like five or six things, right? Things that like almost instantaneously upset you. The other list I want you to do is more of a reflection, things that aren't as obvious. And I want you to consider the last handful of times that you got upset, quote unquote, out of nowhere, where you maybe didn't even see it coming. And what I don't want you to do is go back and like live back there and get back into those emotions and feelings and kind of like dig up old shit. What I do want you to do though is do your best to do an objective inventory. A very high level inventory of, okay, this happened and this happened and this is what I did about it. If that still feels too triggering because we're still working on kind of managing our emotional reactions to these things, even internally when we remember, then I would like for you to, you know, kind of do it similar to the way that we would file an accident report at the police department with like car one, car two, intersection this, and do it for you. Where it's person one, person two, object one, whatever that is, and do it from a very high level standpoint. I don't want you to remember these things like from your lens, like in your body through your view.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I want you to almost pull that memory, that like perspective that you're watching it through, away or even above and watch it from the surface. Anyone who is within my generation remembers The Sims, picture it like that and see what things were happening within the environment and within each individual that can indicate anything that sparked you. We want to be able to learn new and different things about ourselves when we're doing this S part. It's not just taking what you think you already know about yourself or what people have told you about yourself and running with it. This is about you determining for you who you are, where you stand, what happens in your body, what you do about it, how you view it, all of these things. So it's not just people. It's also these kind of environments, these stressors, places, the experiences, right? It's not just when this person does this, it pisses me off. It's also like what happens within you. That's all really that we need to focus on. And within there, we also want to be focusing on our body awareness, right? Like what happened within my body when that came through? Is my heart rate increasing? Is my jaw clenched? Right? Is my vision kind of narrowing and blurring around the edges? How is my breathing doing? Is it shallow, more rapid? Do I have like energy in my body or is my body kind of removed of energy? There just needs to be so much more awareness of who we are internally, what upsets us, what happens when I get upset, and what I can do to kind of get back into my body. I will talk often here about how poor experiences, whether you want to call it trauma or not, right? They pull us out of our body. It overwhelms our ability to cope with whatever is happening, and it almost kind of dissociates us. This is exactly that autopilot. So when we're doing our self stuff, we want to be getting back into our bodies and feeling our bodies as much as possible. So outside of these reflections of the obvious triggers, the not so obvious triggers, and what happens within my body when those things happen, I want you to stop and pause right then, right now, and just look internally, listen to what your body is telling you, or even just what are you feeling in your body, right? Like right now I'm sitting crisscross applesauce, and while I'm comfortable everywhere else, my left foot, kind of tingly, not digging it. Probably going to keep it here too long, and then it's going to go full blown asleep, and then that might stress me out because I want to be here with you and not with my brain elsewhere, right? I'm going to move. Yeah, negative. Okay, I have jaw pain currently because I clench my teeth in my sleep, and I haven't gotten that night guard that I've called like 7 times to set up, and I have not gone to yet. I have some anxiety in my chest, a lot of stressors, and sometimes it's hard for me to keep my brain focused on one thing at a time. I want you to listen to these things and observe what's happening in your body as we speak. And then if you're open to it, set a timer for like morning, afternoon, evening, maybe just morning, maybe just evening, maybe one time this entire week or month to do this same thing and scan your body from your noggin to your toes and just see how each one feels. From there, we do our H. We heal from our bullshit. So much of the time, our unresolved emotions are what fuel reactive anger. It's not what's happening presently in that moment. Sometimes it is. And for the vast majority of things that end up coming up, it's because I'm not doing work in between. I'm carrying all of this shit because I would rather not deal with it. And then it builds up. It creates this kind of volcano effect until, of course, I erupt. So prevention is going to start with processing the deeper shit. And the body often senses danger before we are consciously aware of it. And so if our body can sense danger and even get a millisecond head start, right? What ends up happening is we begin to react before we're even consciously aware of it, right? Like this is sometimes why we can feel grumpy, reactive, on edge, short fused, and not quite know why. This is what's happening. We're carrying all of these things. And part of the healing process is going to be all about our ability to listen to what these things are. And so much of our healing is going to be focused on this part, right? On grounding ourselves, getting us back into our bodies and just sitting with some shit for a little while. I've shared in a previous episode about my grandmother passing earlier, well, not this year, in July of 2024. And I just haven't let myself really feel it. I let myself feel it in the beginning, but not so much later. And so when I'm carrying grief that's unresolved and I'm not giving it life, that energy has to go somewhere. And where it was going was into my impatience and poor reactions with my kids, right? Not taking a beat to try to communicate with them before I just talk at them. And so if we're carrying any of these things, any of our grief, any of our upset, our resentments, our overwhelm, our physical pain, our emotional pain, our unresolved argument from last week, a grudge I've been carrying for 25 years, right? Like these types of things are going to carry completely through. And we won't be able to heal through them if we don't just give them the time that they need. The example I give often is, let's say you broke your foot and you don't want to break your foot. It's super not ideal. It's inconvenient. It's painful. I wish I just hadn't done whatever it was that I did that caused me to break my foot. What the fuck? This sucks, right? And instead of going and properly taking care of it, I'm just going to fucking walk on it. I'll be fine. And you keep it moving and you can walk it. It's painful as fuck, but you are able to. You're able to keep it moving. And then the bone doesn't set properly. And then you find yourself within chronic pain. And that is what a lot of us do with our emotion, with our overwhelm, with our conflicts, with our complaints, and we don't actually heal them. Whereas if we heal them properly, if we even just give them the life and the care that they need, we take that foot, we heal it, we rest it, we wrap it, we do whatever it is that we need to do, wear a boot for a little while, maybe. And then after that time, you begin walking on it, it's a little sore, but eventually you might even forget that it ever even happened because your body doesn't give you any more indications that it's unhealed. That's what I want you to be doing here. That's the overall goal of what we do here. Recognize what our triggers are, learn about ourselves in the S, and then carry them over here into the healing. Don't just recognize what those were. Don't do the S and then get up and walk away and be like, that's enough for today. Please don't. If you're going to stop anywhere, stop after the H. Get into this part where you can go back and say, oh, right, I did mismanage that. What was it that I was trying to achieve there? What was it that was frustrating me in the moment and that I think I misread, that I didn't respond very well to, that I mismanaged? And then you sit in it. You understand that anger is a signal of something unmet. So what is it trying to tell me? What did I do poorly before? And then we start getting into this part of, okay, I forgive myself. I don't excuse it. I carry the responsibility for it. And now what can I actually do about it? It's not that simple, but allow yourself to just sit in it. This is where, like, the hand on your chest, hand on your tummy, deep breaths in, reminding you that you are safe, that you are allowed to error, and that you are constantly working yourself through. Right? That this is the whole point of the growth, the evolution, is fucking up and then doing what you can to prevent yourself from fucking up. But what I hear most often is that, like, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Okay, how? Right? Like, if you weren't going to do that before, right? If I'm not going to do this again, what are you going to do any differently that is going to prevent your body, your brain from picking up on some sort of threat in your environment or even internally? And how are you going to pick up on that in the milliseconds before it triggers in your brain? And how are you going to do that any differently this time than you did last time if you aren't building that muscle? Right? This isn't listen to this podcast, go to therapy once a week, go to coaching, however often you're going, whatever this is, and then not do the work in between. And it's very similar to using a personal trainer for a 2-hour workout once a week instead of doing 10 minutes a day of moving your body. That's all we're looking for here. But listen to these cues. Go back, forgive yourself, even if they haven't forgiven you. That's okay. It's not about that. It's more so about recognizing what I did poorly, sitting in that, allowing for that to exist, allowing that to be true, accepting that it happened. Not that I agree with it. Acceptance is not that I like this, I think it's good, and now we can move forward. No, it's just acknowledging that it happened. I will give you an example. I had been previously having a really rough time in 2024. I wasn't managing my stress well. I was eating like shit. I was sleeping like shit. I was running away from myself. My marriage was rocky. We weren't getting along. We were just having so much shit. And it seemed like
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Neither one of us really had the tools to manage this level of stress and overwhelm that we were experiencing. And I was mismanaging that with my kids. And there was one night that I was incredibly disappointed by the way that my kids were behaving, the way that they were managing themselves, the way that they were engaging with me, the way that they were treating each other. And it infuriated me. And what I didn't do was check in with myself really, like, at any point there. I just kind of kept it moving. And before I knew it, I was having this full adult tantrum. I was quite loud with my kids. I used some foul language with them. And then I slammed their bedroom door and left. Full-blown adult tantrum, right? And so for a while before I was ready to do the work, like when I was still sitting in there and just didn't want to feel the ick of making that mistake, I ruminated. I shit all over myself. I spoke to myself in really shitty ways. I catastrophized what it would be like in the future, how they will view me. Oh my gosh, how is our relationship going to be? Me from a mental health lens is like, oh my gosh, did I just fuck them up for life, right? When I started doing this work, I was able to sit in the S. I was able to sit in the shit, rather, and figure out what about each one was contributing and what can I do differently. I mismanaged it, yes. What I did with my upset was really fucking poor. What contributed to my upset, right, was completely valid. So what I did was choose to, you know, engage with myself and talk to myself in a way that was more kind, more practical. I accepted that it happened, understood why it happened, where it came from, and then made an active choice to do something differently, not just not yell next time. It was, okay, I'm going to do something differently. And by that, it was, I'm going to listen more to my body. I'm not going to hear them jumping off of the beds that they're not supposed to do and just use that as my reason to go up there and just like offload my stress, offload this energy. What I will do is hear them jumping off the bed upstairs, recognize the urgency that I have within my chest, the other part of me that wants to go there and be like, what the fuck are you doing? You know the rules. You know we don't treat our home this way, whatever it is, and just kind of like lose my shit. Because that kind of feels good, you guys, right? Like every so fucking often, it does feel like advocacy and it does feel like they just deserve it. Otherwise, they won't learn. And that leads me down a path of regret. I know this. I have the history of it. I'm sitting in it, right? And so next time I hear them jumping off the bed, I remind myself that if they've jumped 3 times, jumping 5 times likely won't make a difference to like the structure of our home. But what will make a difference is that if I take 5, 10 seconds or even minutes to sit within it, regulate my emotions and decide kind of what I want to go upstairs and say, how I want to engage with them, how I can get them to hear me and speak to them and with them instead of just at them, I can then tune out the jumping. I can remedy some of the injustice that's sitting in my chest and choose something that's going to get a different result. And so instead of just not yelling, these are the kinds of commitments that I make to myself and the ones that I suggest that you make too. I recognized I erred and I can do something about that. Then we get to our I. And this is our innovation. Some of this is going to be our communication, but overall, it really is just trying new and different things, right? So when we are proactive in expressing our needs, our concerns, that's when we end up being in the most amount of prevention. And that isn't just with other people. This is also with ourselves. We can't control what other people do, right? We can maybe influence at best. And at the end of the day, they're going to do them. They're going to do what they think is best for them and whatever it is that they feel like doing. And it's up to us to determine what we innovate within ourselves, either as a result to that or in prevention of that. And so this is our innovation. Instead of just holding in frustrations, we take the triggers and all of that from our S and we see which ones we could maybe voice to others in advance when we are calm. And here's the thing. I know a lot of you are staying quiet because we're just trying to keep the peace, right? Your peace that you are keeping by not saying anything is not peaceful. You want the illusion of peace, but you're not actually doing anything to achieve it. You are choosing actively to trade short-term comfort for long-term dysfunction. And that's just how it is. So if we actually want something to be different, if we actually want to achieve peace and achieve this that we're chasing, we have to be willing to go through a bunch of small little speed bumps instead of one massive mountain that feels like I just can't climb over it. And then once I get to the top, maybe I just tumble my ass all the way down. This is what we do instead. We recognize what things can I remedy with other people and I share that with them, right? Hey, so I have recognized over the past few weeks certain things that have been flaring up in me and I haven't been sharing with you. Can I share those with you right now and can we figure out a way to make it better? And I would like to know anything that has been flaring you up in the last few weeks and where you need me to be different. It doesn't have to be this whole scripted thing. I do have scripts if you need them. They're on my website. Go download them. If you don't want to use the scripts, if you want it to feel more authentic, then that's just what you say. But you don't say, hey, this has been pissing me off about you for the last 3 weeks, and this is what I need you to change. Negative. That's control. That's not a boundary. And we can get into boundaries versus control later. But this is very much, this is what I need. This is what I'm looking for. Here's where I've noticed myself having challenges. Here's what I've noticed has been flaring me up more often. And moving forward, would you be open to doing this instead of that? Right? Give direction. Request that we act in prevention together. Adjust your expectations, right? And then within ourselves, we have to figure that part out too. When you likely carry multiple roles, you might be a spouse, a parent, a sibling, a child, a worker, a business owner, whatever this might be. And we are constantly going through all of these roles at once. And what we tend to do is go straight from morning mode, me, parent mode, whatever that is, into working mode, into home mode. And we're not pausing in between those. So one of the innovations that I suggest that you take on is taking 5-10 seconds in the car before you get out and go inside to your family after work, right? If you're working from a home office, take 5-10 seconds, maybe up to 30, maybe more if you have the time, if you can swing it, sit in your office with everything turned off, phone off. Don't just pick up your phone and go right back into it. Take a second, take a few seconds and just take a couple breaths. Remind yourself that you are leaving work here. You're leaving the tantrum that your kid left here. You're doing this over there. And that now I am going to go do this. And we can kind of like reset and pivot into all of these different kind of roles and people that we have to be throughout the day. When something stresses you out, when you get a phone call and it just, you know, it causes you stress and overwhelm, we don't just take action right away. If it's an emergency, of course, like do that and then you can reset later. If it's not an emergency, if 5 minutes wouldn't make a difference, really on like the grand scheme, on the grand scale, then you take those 5 minutes to readjust, recognize what happened within your body, right? And consciously choose to remedy it and then move forward. A lot of the innovations that we have in prevention are going to be around just listening to yourself, pausing and moving a little bit more slowly. The rest of it is going to be about engaging and communicating with the people around you to let them know what it is that they're needing from you. So now when I hear my kids jumping off the bed, when I hear them doing these things and I immediately get infuriated, what instead I do is I do everything that, of course, that I told you earlier that I'm not going to repeat. And then in between these things, I go upstairs, I go into the room, I sit down on the floor with them. I ask them to come over and I tell them, hey, this overwhelm that I feel in my chest, this is the feeling that I get that makes me want to yell. I'm really working on not being loud with you guys, and I just want to be able to talk to you instead of yelling at you or with you or at each other, right? So this is what I'm going to be needing from you. Moving forward, we are not going to be jumping on the couch, like whatever this is. And then you allow yourself to reset. They get to, one, have it modeled for them of how to do this, what to say, how to say it, how to set expectations for future, and then we move forward. The next time you stay downstairs and they're running upstairs to play, you ask them to pause or you go up there with them and you remind them, hey, remember, it is a rule in our house that XYZ does not happen and I'm going to need you guys to follow that rule. They agree? Great. Okay. If they violate that rule, that's when we'll go into next episode of what to do about that. In the meantime, though, this is the prevention that we are talking about. From there, we develop more fortitude, right? We gain strength through all of the change. And this really only comes from consistent habits that will reduce our emotional overload over time. This is going to include, you know, mostly daily emotional maintenance. It's going to be checking in with yourself when you first wake up. Did you wake up breathing fire? Did you wake up feeling motivated? Did you wake up just not wanting to wake up at all? And what is going on with that? Right? Just acknowledging these things is going to be a massive, massive thing. When you're wrapping up your day, ask yourself one thing that went well today. just one. And if you have more than that, great. But we really want to just be kind of leaning our perspective, this mindset, into more of the positive things, not toxic positivity. Please do not get me wrong. We're not living within toxic positivity. I'm not going to paint glitter on shit and pretend like that's good enough, right? That's not what's happening. What is happening is that when we are overwhelmed with more negative emotions, when we're on autopilot, we're more likely to be on autopilot and suffer. So what we need to do is add more positive, more factual things into our existence. Not this was the best day ever, negative, you're just lying to yourself. It is, though, it was really nice when today that person let me go in front of them while merging. That was a nice thing that happened today. That's something that went well today. Right? Can be that simple. I actually drank water today. That's a win. Right? We're going to focus on more of these positive things. And we're going to introduce more opportunities to emotionally regulate. We're going to check in with ourselves more often. We're going to get sunlight first thing in the morning. We're going to like follow through with these things and remind ourselves of what it is that we are doing well. Even if you reacted like shit with somebody in your life, it doesn't mean that nothing good came out of that. What lesson did you learn? What good came out from that? And that's what you focus on. Even though that was a really shitty scenario, I am learning that XYZ is what I do when I feel ABC. That's huge. And then one of the other things to build some fortitude is going to be around your expectation management, right? Like so much of our frustrations, I think, come from this belief, I don't know where it came from, that like things shouldn't be hard, that I shouldn't, you know, confront obstacles, that things should just go smoothly for me. And I don't know who the fuck taught you that. I don't know where we all kind of get this mentality. But when we fail, right? Like when something fails our expectations, that is going to be one of the biggest flare-ups. And so I'm not telling you not to have any expectations. Please do not get me wrong. It just means that we adjust them and we allow for the fact that, okay, I'm pulling in the driveway from work. I know my kids are inside. I'm not just going to go in and assume that they're just like sitting there all tidy, all clean, and you know, whatever. It's instead, okay, I'm going to prepare myself to walk into that house and it is mayhem. Absolute fucking chaos. And anything less than that is a win. Anything more than that just means that I need to redefine what chaos means. But in the meantime, that will allow for it. The amount of children that have their parents come home to them and make them feel and present like their children are a burden to them is wild. I contributed to that in my history, absolutely. And I learned from that. I recognized what I was doing poorly. I'm trying new and different things, and I am going to build the fortitude that I need to be able to manage myself, my overwhelm better when I get home after a long day. And I know that a lot of this is geared toward parenting, and it's probably because my brain is just consumed with the parental shift program that we have launching, right? Like that virtual group that we're doing to help parents kind of navigate their overwhelm and manage their conflicts better with their kids and also with their partners, right? So like that's just like building in my brain. And so excuse a lot of the parenting topics that are going to be coming up now, but that's what I want for you. Expect to get cut off in traffic, right? Expect a long line at the pharmacy, at the DMV. Expect to have a shitty customer client response at some point today. Expect your partner to not do everything it is that you're looking for them to do. Expect inconvenience, and you will not be shocked and reactive when they do happen. And then ultimately, we get to this transformation. We get to feel like these things are coming more easily. I have now been practicing this with my kids since, I believe, about September, October of 2024. So I'm recording this end of January 25, so 4 months-ish. And this is beginning to feel more automatic for me. I'm not losing my shit really at all anymore that I can think of, right? Like I might get loud and short and snippy at them. I am not behaving anywhere near what I was doing before. And my life has only gotten more stressful since September, October. What I'm doing is just managing it better. I'm checking in with myself. I'm listening to myself. I'm trying to get better on my sleep schedule. I'm trying to drink more water. I'm trying to eat more whole foods and get all the nutrients that my body needs, right? And this is what is allowing for these things to start feeling more automatic. I do feel more transformative now, and it's because I'm doing the work, and it's subtle, you guys. I'm not meditating for an hour and a half a day and doing everything scratch kitchen and all of this. That is not at all what's happening. I am just staying mindful of these things. As I'm recording this, I'm expecting my kids to interrupt from time to time. If I'm not, I'm going to be really upset, right? I'm expecting, you know, certain things to go wrong. So I'm leaving my house a little bit earlier. And when I don't leave on time, because I tend to be perpetually 10 minutes late everywhere, time blindness is a thing. When I am late, I'm reminding myself that I can't just go right into work with the stress of being late. I am. There is quite literally nothing I can do about that except for inform the person that I'm running behind and be kind and respectful of their time. Nothing else is going to matter. So if I'm already late and overwhelmed and somebody cuts me off, it's not even necessarily them. It's not their fault. They didn't piss me off. I was already carrying this shit, right? And then I hit an obstacle that I didn't expect. And then I flare up. So if we are trying to be this transformative person, that's exactly who we kind of act on behalf of. I am not expecting to be this kumbaya mom. What I am expecting of me is to be a mom that instills safety in my children, emotional, physical, and otherwise. That's what I want. That's the person that I'm working to embody. That is the most important thing to me. And so if that's the person that I want to be, I'm going to work backward and figure that out. And now I'm on my path and I have zero doubt that I will fuck up at some point in the future, right? And what that will tell me is that I'm just not doing the work. I forgot how to shift and I am staying still and stalling. So I hope that this was helpful in the prevention. I hope that this kind of gives you the opportunity and that permission to get to know yourself and not run away. Get to know what triggers you and not just shit on yourself for like that being a petty thing to trigger you. That's not what this is. We're just looking for facts here. And facts are our friends. The things that we can accept are going to be those facts. And if there's anything about those that you're not a fan of, that you're not happy with, this is how you work through to prevent them. So to recap, our S is to know ourselves and our triggers. Our H is to address those deeper layers. Our I is to try new things and communicate early and often. Our F is going to be building resilience through habits. And our T is going to be viewing each of these experiences as opportunities for growth into who I'm trying to be. So now that we have tackled prevention, next time we're going to go fully into the strategies of managing myself when I'm already activated, when I'm triggered, how to quote unquote calm down. And we will learn how to diffuse that anger together. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope this was helpful. If you have any comments, any feedback, any questions, please, please, please reach out to me. You can comment here. You can text me directly through the number on the website. You can go to the website, join me as a steady friend, get full free access to all of these resources. And if you are a parent looking to make a shift, you can join our parental shift in March for 30 days completely free. In exchange for some guidance, some feedback, let me know what's working. Let me know what's not. This is an entirely flagship program, and I want you all to help dictate what it is that you need and why and how, and I will figure out all of that for you and with you. Until then, stay steady, and I will see you next time.